Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Hello, Schmoville. Welcome to Meet the Movie Press, and let's get right to it. Jeff Snyder, film reporter from The Wrap. Welcome back.
I'm back, everybody.
How you doing, man?
Hi, Schmoville.
Man, Sundance, huh?
Man, I'm exhausted.
I bet.
I got like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night if I was lucky.
Jeez,
one,
I know.
One night was 90 minutes.
Oh, my
God. So I'm pretty wiped.
I know. You guys who go to Sundance and cover this, I am not. I love that my mom is calling me right now. I'm just going to take
mom,
a little.
Don't you know that we tape a podcast
Should
this
I take
hour?
This on air?
Do it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do it.
Speakerphone. Speakerphone.
Hey, mom, I'm in the middle of my show. Remember? Okay.
Mrs.
That happened.
Riley.
That happened. That just happened. Yeah, it's so funny. My mom has no idea what I do.
Nope.
And asks me hundreds of times. Anyways, guys, sorry for that. I thought it'd be fun.
Eh.
Whatever. I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of schmoesno.com. And as I said,
I'm Jeff Snyder, film reporter for therap.com.
Yeah, and I was saying that you guys doing Sundance, man, I mean, I was talking to Alicia Malone last night.
People are still there.
People are still there.
How it's crazy.
I thought it was just a weekend. It seems to change every year for me, but
no,
it's a whole week.
It's like a 10-day festival.
Yeah.
And I generally stay for like the first 5 or 6 days, and then, you know, it's the real troopers who stay the second half.
Yeah.
So there are people there, you know, until the closing night.
Wow. So, do you find that the first the weekend, the first few days of the festival is like the main time? That's
yeah,
it.
that's front loaded with the best titles and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's more sales activity the first half of the festival,
mm-hmm.
the bigger premieres, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's important to be there for the first half.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to stay the whole time.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
I stayed just about the perfect amount of time. I could have done maybe one more day, but
yeah.
The people who are still there, man, you guys have way more stamina than I do.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Alicia Malone says she saw 20 movies in 6 days. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And how about you?
I got sent a lot of pre-festival links and stuff.
Okay.
So all in all, I've seen 22 films in the lineup.
Wow.
But I only saw 10 movies during the actual festival.
Yeah. Man. That is a rigorous schedule.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good festival this year, I thought.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was a, you know, listen, it's every Sundance there's a bunch of crap to wade through.
Yeah.
Those sort of stereotypical Sundance movies,
sure.
But there were some real good ones, so I guess I'll just dive right in.
Yeah, what stood out to you? I want to get, you know, your thoughts on Sundance.
There were probably 4 films that stood out to me, at least the ones that I saw, and then I'll tell you guys about the ones that I didn't see.
Okay.
I love The End of the Tour, the David Foster Wallace movie.
Okay.
Starring Jason Segel and then Jesse Eisenberg as a Rolling Stone reporter. And maybe it's because I'm a reporter.
Sure.
And this was a great movie about writers and writing and process, and, you know, they're breaking down sort of how David Foster Wallace came to be who he turned out to be.
Okay.
And
This is the dramatic turn by Siegel, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There is some humor in it.
There is,
there's actually a really funny scene where the guys go see Broken Arrow. So there's like the whole scene on the train from Broken Arrow. Which,
All right. You mean the John Woo,
yes,
Christian Slater, John Travolta?
So I love that. It. A24 bought that. Those guys have great taste, and they got a few movies during the festival.
Uh-huh.
I really liked Cop Car with
Cop
Kevin
Car.
Bacon.
Oh,
it's two,
the Baconator.
That was one of the two Midnight, I guess only 2 Midnight movies have sold so far. So anyways, it's about 2 10-year-old boys who find a cop car in the middle of the woods.
Okay.
And there's a surprise in the trunk.
Okay.
And Kevin Bacon sort of plays the evil sheriff who is desperate to get his car back.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I'm already like piecing together the story
in
my head.
And so that felt like a Coen Brothers, like an early Coen Brothers, like Blood Simple meets Amblin.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Really cool tone.
Ooh, I like that.
I really liked it. Hollywood Reporter kind of crapped all over it.
Yeah, whatever. You know, they have their opinions.
The other two movies that I really like were Dope.
Uh-huh.
Which got a lot of buzz at the festival and wound up going to Open Road, and that was sort of about 30, three nerdy black teenagers in Inglewood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who are obsessed with 90s hip-hop.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Alicia talked about this last night as well.
Yeah, I really like Dope.
You guys are mentioning pretty much some of the same movies, so these are...
Yeah,
these
I'm sure that there's going to be some overlapping, and yeah. There's a sort of breakout star turn by Shameik Moore.
Okay.
And then, what was the other one that I really liked? Oh, The Stanford Prison Experiment. I thought that was fascinating,
yeah,
based on the actual experiment.
Sure.
Great young cast. You know, they take essentially 18 guys or whatever. 9 of them are prison guards. 9 of them are prisoners.
Uh-huh.
And Billy Crudup just kind of sits back and watches, you know, this thing go to absolute shit.
Wow. God, I envy you guys. So it was cool. Great movies.
But, you know, the big movies that people are going to come away talking about were Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which I did not get to see.
Yeah, I heard that. That's the Sarah Silverman, is that correct?
No, this one is with Thomas Mann and Olivia Cooke.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other one is Sarah Silverman one is...
I saw the Sarah Silverman movie. She was excellent in it. It's called I Smile Back.
Yes.
It was bleakest movie that I saw at Sundance. It was so depressing.
Oh, boy.
There's no hope or redemption at the end of that film.
Oh, man.
But she does a very good job. You know, warts and all.
Yeah, yeah.
So Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl was the one that kind of, that you saw headlines about 12 million. It didn't actually sell for anything close to 12 million.
Oh, it didn't.
But, yeah, Fox Searchlight made a different deal.
Okay.
With more upside for the filmmakers. And then the other one with a lot of buzz Searchlight also got was Brooklyn. That sold for 9 million. That's just an Irish immigration story with, Saoirse Ronan. And, you know, there were the documentaries that got, a lot of attention. Scientology.
Sure. The Scientology
the
one,
Hunting
yeah.
Ground, which was about campus rape.
Ooh, that's interesting.
The Kurt Cobain movie.
I heard
a
that,
lot of
yep.
buzz.
Yep.
So, you know, it was a pretty good lineup all in all.
Yeah. So when you're there, this is a question a lot of people ask, you know, parties. Are you going to parties or are you just working too much?
I have one party night. I went out hard on Sunday night.
Okay.
I went to the UTA party after waiting in line for an hour.
Ugh. In the cold? Are you just sitting there freezing?
You are sitting there in the cold. Oh. Yeah. Deals are breaking around you and you can't really file. And my boss was... You know, definitely screaming at me that night.
What are you doing? Why
right.
are you partying?
Exactly.
Okay. It's Sunday.
Yeah, and then I tried to get into the WME lounge, actually, Ooh. After the UTA party. This is at like 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And there was an incident. I'm not going to go into the details, but basically they had said that they were at capacity and that a pipe had burst inside the WME lounge, and so that's why they couldn't have as many people as they typically have.
Okay.
I sure enough found... There was no pipe burst.
Oh, no.
Guys, you can't pull one over on me. Some of these bouncers should be agents because they can just spin you.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. That's funny.
And then, I mean, did you guys hear about the Emil Hirsch thing?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. When you said incident, I'm like, were you with Emil Hirsch?
No.
So, guys, I don't know if you've heard about this one. It's not, I mean, it's news. It's movie related, I suppose, because of Emil Hirsch. But what did he do? Did he punch a Paramount exec?
Yeah, I don't want to. Also, I've heard some rumors and gossip about this.
Yeah,
it boils down to the fact that Emil Hirsch definitely put a female Paramount executive in a headlock.
In a headlock,
at the very least. Some describe it as a chokehold.
Very nice,
but
Emil.
The bottom line, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know what instigated
allegedly.
It. Right. I don't know what started it. I've heard rumors, but yeah, Emil, you can't be putting your hands on women at a film festival at Tao. Like,
no,
that's the
no.
most visible place.
No, yeah, so, yeah. This, I mean, that out of Sundance, anything like that is going to hit like news major.
Exactly, and you know that those Park City cops are just like itching to bust.
Oh yeah,
the big Hollywood people.
Exactly,
come into town,
I bet they roll their eyes every year. Here we go again. You're going to have all these guys running around putting people in headlocks.
They're probably licking their chops. Those cops.
Oh yeah, I bet. So that's pretty amazing.
So yeah, all in all, it was a pretty good week. The Rap had a video studio this year.
Yeah, I saw that. I was
retweeting
content. Some.
Yeah, so it was cool. I got to talk to a lot of cool people. I met Spike Lee.
Oh.
And I'll relay my Spike Lee story real quick. I was just
please.
Spike, you know, I feel your pain this year with the Knicks being so terrible. My Celtics are horrible.
Okay.
And he's like, you from Boston? Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you a Patriots fan?
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah. He's like, cheater. JT's
in the back. I know. I almost wore my Seahawks hat to sit with you.
Yeah.
But I decided against it.
I can't lose this week, guys, because I grew up with the Seahawks kicker.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We played soccer together. He always had a big leg. He didn't play football in high school. And now he makes $3.5 million a year. So I'll never be the most successful kid on my own block.
There you go. Well, that's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So, I talked to Kevin Smith. We did a Kevin Smith, Kevin Pollak, Lisa Kudrow panel. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great.
I met Ben Mendelsohn, who was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, had forgotten some questions that I was asking everybody as they came in. And I guess Ben had seen the previous interview. Mm-hmm. So he actually interviewed himself.
Oh, good.
You know, it's little moments like that yeah. make the trip worthwhile. But it's good to be back in LA. And,
yeah.
You know, I missed the show last week, but I heard Christian did a good job.
Christian did a great job. Yeah, I got to interview him. I got to spin it on him finally. You know, I get to talk to him, and we talked about, you know, the schmoes and how we started and this and how where we are now. And then we geeked out a little bit on a hopeful news break. So
very cool.
Which
well,
we
yeah,
will
listen,
do.
I mean, I can talk about Sundance all day, but, you know, I feel like we're not going to see these movies for 6 to 9 months. So
yeah.
let's dive in on the news.
Yeah, guys. So a lot of news this week to discuss. And just to let you know, we are crossing our fingers here. Frosty from Collider. Is going to try and call in. He is very busy. He was going to come into studio, but then some interviews popped up, and we were going to talk about He Broke Collider. Got it. Hand it to these guys. Got the
hell of a week for Collider.
Hell of a week for Collider. First official, like, kind of stills speaking to Simon Kinberg and Josh Trank about Fantastic
finally
Four.
Finally got those guys to open up.
He finally got them to open up, and it was a kind of a 1-2 punch. We had the interview drop at Collider, and then the next day we got the trailer.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm hoping that Frosty's going to...
And?
What's that?
And? Frosty also sold his site.
He sold his site? I did not know this.
Wait, you didn't know this?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Frosty sold Collider to Complex Media.
Complex Media, okay.
Now, he's still obviously going to be running things day to day.
Sure, okay.
You know, but yeah, he took that Nicky Fink money.
Nice. Well, we got to talk about that. I had no idea. That's
yeah,
the big
it's
week.
It's great for him.
Yeah, that guy, he actually co-hosted with me when you were gone once.
Oh, okay.
So he came in, and that guy is just the coolest.
He's a hustler.
He is a hustler, and I got to tell you, he's one of the most professional guys I've ever met. I mean, I email him,
mm-hmm.
and it's like 5 seconds later, he's on it. I mean, he must have like 15 windows open on his computer just going, yep.
Frosty has a chip in his head.
He does. We turn him on like Lobot from Empire Strikes Back. So he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just thought it was like it gave hope to sort of bloggers everywhere. Like if you're a webmaster
absolutely.
Out there with your own site, there are, you know, larger companies paying attention, like Complex Media or whatever.
Yeah.
And you never know when you're going to get that offer cash in.
Good. It gives me hope then, because that's what I am.
That's what we're looking for the schmoes.
That's what we're looking for the schmoes. Yeah.
Schmoesknow.aol.com.
Yeah. Who's out there? AOL? We'll take it. So, yeah, guys, we'll maybe get to Frosty. Looks good, but, you know, things could change. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll do some hopeful news break. We got a lot of news that broke. So why don't we go into, JT, are you ready for this? A little hopeful news break. Oh, yeah. There we go. Guys, every week on Wednesday and or Thursday, we drop a hopeful news break in. It's what you want to hear, guys. What's out there? What's kind of making some waves? And can it happen? I ask my expert sitting next to me, because sometimes I don't know, I just kind of look and go, yeah, that's cool. But guys, we will read it on air, and I like this because this is actually making some waves, and I want to get to it. Let me find it again.
Is this what I think it is?
It is. Ty William, you're such an awesome kid, man. I see you dropping comments all the time. Is there any validity to Tyrese Gibson as Jon Stewart? You know, other than him talking out of his behind. Okay. Is he talking out of his behind? I think that's what he means. Jeff, I mentioned this off air, and Jeff, your exact response was?
No, this is not going to happen. Give me a break. Tyrese is Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They already screwed this character once.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
they want a sure thing as Green Lantern now.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, I hear fans clamoring for Idris Elba as Jon Stewart. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's where they're going to go. I think they're going to go the... Get rid of the Hal Jordan because of the Ryan Reynolds flop. So I think they'll go to Jon Stewart.
So there's going to be Marvel DC crossover?
I guess. No. Well, what do you mean?
Well, Idris Elba, I mean, he's Marvel's.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I just know that the fans want him. But that might not happen, guys. But then I've heard Idris Elba was like, you know, Marvel screwed me and I don't want to do it anymore. And
I don't think that Tyrese is the guy.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't either. I don't even think we're going to get any kind of Green Lantern news for a while. I think that they're really going to focus on Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. They're going to drop in Aquaman and Cyborg, I hear, in the first movie. And then they're going to really start pressing, because I know we have a Green Lantern movie coming out in, like, I don't know, 15 years. It's just so many coming out now. I'm just like, yeah, my grandkids are going to go to the opening night with maybe Jaden Smith as Green Lantern. Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, kudos to Tyrese for getting that the whole campaign rolling and that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't see it at
guys,
all.
Guys, what I see happening is a fan and a name, somebody that has some clout in the business because he's Tyrese, he's in Fast and Furious franchise. I think what he's doing right now is he wants Green Lantern and he's taking it to social media, but he's getting everybody excited, the fans of his.
He's not Vin Diesel. I just feel like if you were actually up for a role, there's no way you would campaign like this in public. Like this stuff has to go on behind closed doors.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's almost like a last gasp attempt.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, yeah, that's a film reporter from The Wrap, Jeff Snyder's expert opinion. I agree with it. If this, and I think it'll segue nicely into this next point, guys, that we want to talk about. If it was, say, Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones, I think we're talking about something different here. I think
that's much more realistic.
That's more realistic. And Deadline drops this exclusive a couple days ago, guys. Chris Pratt being basically Disney's first choice for Indiana Jones in a reboot. I'm not calling it a reboot anymore. I think it's just a continuation like James Bond. That's what Spielberg and Lucas set out to do. They said, I want to make a James Bond movie. And Lucas said, well, how about Indiana Smith? No, I don't like Indiana Smith. How about Indiana Jones? And the rest is history. So I think what they're going to do is just, it's going to be another Indiana Jones adventure with a new actor. Jeff, what do you think? Chris Pratt? Do you think this is legit? Are they really going after?
I mean, I think so, probably.
Latino Review has been talking about this for a while. Elmi Imbe was saying that, Bradley Cooper at one point, and that they're going to reboot this franchise. And
sure, and they are. They can't just let that IP wilt.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt, I think, is the right age.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're not going to make it for, four or five more years, and then...
Probably. I mean, I think they want to get their ducks in a row. I mean, they're going to have Star Wars blow up, and then they have Indiana Jones, so they're going to go after it.
Right. I would be a little wary of... You know, if I was proud of doing too many franchises, it depends if there's another Jurassic sequel.
Yeah, which there probably will be.
Right,
but.
Right. Obviously, we don't know if he survives Jurassic World, but I would imagine that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you have Guardians and Jurassic, and it's just like, I don't know. I'd be careful.
Yeah.
I guess Harrison Ford, though, had a bunch of franchises, too.
If sure.
And Jack Ryan as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you look at the history of the Indiana Jones franchise. Lucas didn't want Harrison Ford because of Han Solo. He was like, no, he's my Han Solo.
Right.
So let's go get Tom Selleck. And then, Peter Coyote, my favorite story about Peter Coyote, who ended up being Keys in E.T. off of his audition for Indiana Jones, walks in as the swashbuckler archaeologist in character and trips over a lamp and like falls in front of Spielberg. And guess what Spielberg did? He went, no, you're not right for it. But however, remembered him and then cast him in E.T., which I thought was pretty
cool.
That's
a great story.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, Chris Pratt's Peter Quill is already essentially like Indiana Jones in space.
Yeah, he's kind of a hybrid, I see, of Indiana and Han Solo, really. I mean, he's like kind of a perfect – and that's what we were talking about last night on the main show was I just don't see – I did it first. I talked myself into it in the article I was writing, and I'm like, yeah, I could see it. But then the more I thought about it and having heard Bradley Cooper's name, Bradley Cooper seems more – right for Indiana Jones.
Sure, but I think that maybe they want somebody a little bit younger, someone who they can grow the franchise with over the next 10 to 15 years.
That might be true, yeah. So do you think we could get a whole new trilogy of Indiana Jones films?
I mean, that's the way that executives think, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why everything these days has to be a trilogy.
I know.
I don't know, how come no one's like, oh, we're going to do two great pictures?
I know, right?
It's always this trilogy thing, and I don't know why. Since
it was always a trilogy in my head.
It used to be that they would do these trilogies for like DVDs and box sets and stuff, but nobody buys those anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody buys physical media, so I don't know why, everyone is so hung up on the number three.
Yeah, I think, right, money. It's just, you know, they just keep wanting to, you know, to print money in the bank. And
Pratt would be good, no doubt. But it's all, listen, it's all going to come down to the filmmaker. It's all going to come down to the tone that they want. Is this going to be a darker Indiana Jones or sort of like an adventure, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
whatever.
I would love to see actually Spielberg do one more with a new actor. I think that would be cool.
Nope.
You don't want that?
No.
Whole new blood?
Steven Spielberg.
No.
Yeah. You should be making real movies. But leave the popcorn shit to other people.
Yeah, there you go.
Young up-and-comers or something.
All right, let's move on, guys. What else is out there? Jeff, we have a lot.
We got to talk Ghostbusters for a second.
Please, let's talk Ghostbusters, guys. You're talking about it here on the chat board.
So,
thank you very much, by the way, for jumping in.
So it looked like Variety and Hollywood Reporter had sniffed something out because they posted within a minute or two of Paul Feig's tweet. But regardless, Paul Feig got that tweet out first. So
yes, he did.
No one could really claim the exclusive.
Did anybody claim the exclusive?
Hollywood Reporter did for a while, but they took off the tag.
Okay.
So we have Melissa McCarthy, who we already knew.
Yes.
We have Kristen Wiig, who makes, you know, a lot
perfect
of sense, you know, pairing her with them.
Yeah.
And then the two surprises, and I gotta tell you, I mean, these, I would never in a million years have guessed that these two would have gotten it. As early as, you know, early in the week, I was still on Sony's Ass about Emma Stone.
That's what I was hearing.
Right.
Yeah. That's so, exactly, we were like, Emma Stone was looking like she was going to be in it, which I hoped
right.
she would, but anyway.
So Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live. I love it.
Yeah.
I think seeing those four together, it's going to be cool. Kate McKinnon is the best thing on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Leslie Jones has not really found her footing on SNL, but you can totally see her being the sort of muscle of this crew.
Yeah.
Of being like the Terry Crews, if you will.
Yeah.
And like, imagine if a Ghostbuster like scares a ghost scares the hell out of her, that reaction that you're going to get on her very expressive face.
Yeah.
I think it'll be perfect.
Yeah. I like the cast. I would have loved to see Emma Stone.
No.
And
yeah, I'll get into that, but continue. Sorry.
Okay. Just because I'm a fan of hers and I could see her in that world, but I think I don't know her, but the choices that she makes for her movies, it makes sense that she's not in it right now. Mm-hmm. I think that was her call. I could be wrong. But with this also, it wasn't it HitFix that dropped like kind of some plot details and
yeah,
character descriptions?
Yeah, Drew had some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
It looked like he had gotten his hand on a copy of the script.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that Sony is trying to get Bill Murray back.
Yeah.
To play the William Atherton character or something like that.
No.
From the first film.
No. Stop. No. Do not do that. Move on. Because if he's in a Ghostbuster movie in a different character than Peter Venkman, no. I don't think it'll work.
I think it would because, listen, he is not coming back as Peter Venkman. It
no,
seems like that is very obvious. So,
yeah.
Listen, we all still want Bill Murray, whether in every movie.
Sure.
So if we want him in this movie, I'll take him as another character other than Peter Venkman, if that's what it takes. It would be
yeah.
a kind of nice tongue-in-cheek meta nod to the first script.
I guess you could call it that, meta nod. Yeah, because I am thinking in quite literal terms, you see Bill Murray come into a Ghostbusters world, and if Feig is talking about this does exist in the same universe as Ghostbusters, I can't wrap my head around having...
Does it? I mean, so
that's what
Paul
he said.
Feig has said that? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering... Are Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson going to show up for cameos? Because they've always wanted to come back.
Yeah, I think
so.
And I
think that, you know, before Feig took control of the script, there was going to be that linkage and it was going to be, you know, the sons or whatever of the Ghostbusters. I don't know that these are the daughters of the Ghostbusters. It doesn't seem like it.
I don't think so. I think it's a whole... And maybe it is. I mean, it's a little muddy out there, but maybe this is a complete just reboot.
Try to sound with Riley on this. If he's not Peter Venkman, I do not want him in a Ghostbusters movie.
Thank you.
It just would make no sense to me.
It would just be hard. It would be hard for me to just to separate. I know he could do it, and he would make me laugh, and it would work. I know it would work, but I just would sit there looking, going, especially if Aykroyd shows
like,
up.
Why isn't he Peter Venkman?
Yeah.
Okay,
if Aykroyd shows up as Ray and does a cameo and goes, hey, look at me. Here's a proton pack. Move on, go get ghosts. And then later on down the line, here comes Bill Murray as the William Atherton character. I'd be like, huh?
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So that's just my take on it.
I am glad that they did not go with Emma Stone because to me that's the sort of Hollywood casting that dooms this movie.
Sure.
I think that going with real comedians like Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon is going to be a real boon for this film.
I agree. And it has the kind of – there's a very similar kind of line in the casting from the original – We had the Saturday Night Live.
Right, exactly. It continues the spirit of the show and, mm-hmm. and that kind of a thing. And I mean, Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig are really all the star power I think that this film needs.
Yeah, and
the brand itself is going to get you to a certain dollar point.
And I love, and you know, a lot of people, God, you guys out there, the chauvinists out there, man, you just look stupid when you come out and say stupid things about of all female Ghostbusters movie. Why aren't you happy about this? I see it everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was like that at first too, where it was like, do we really need an all-female reboot? Like, this isn't Ghostbusters. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, yeah, sorry.
I was like, you know, you go the all-female reboot with something, with anything else, but Ghostbusters is kind of my jam. That's my franchise, more than Star Wars and Trek and indie.
Oh, okay.
So I was a little disheartened to start with, but then it's like, how do you argue once they got a cast like this?
Yeah.
Going all-female, they were not going to do much better than they did.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, to be calling it all female and you know, where are the dudes and everything, there's going to be a bunch of dudes in here as well. I don't doubt that there's going to be maybe a dude putting on a proton pack and fighting alongside these girls.
I'd still love to see like a Rick Moranis type,
me too.
Nerdy kind of guy trailing after these women.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, though. With the reveal that Drew dropped over at HitFix, we have a character that sounds awfully Melissa McCarthy-like in the MTA bus driver.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I hope it's not her. Do you know what I mean? I'm like hoping that we get a little bit of a different Melissa McCarthy in this one. You know, not the obvious, oh, the schluppy girl that's cracking jokes behind the bus, you know, driving the bus, and then comes into contact with the head baddie ghost and then becomes a Ghostbuster, whatever. That's the line of thinking going out there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, honestly, I read that report. I couldn't I mean, he was kind of guessing at who people felt like, right?
Yeah, he's guessing.
I mean, Leslie Jones could just as easily be the bus driver,
sure.
too.
Yeah.
Because it just made sense to me to have McCarthy and Wiig be the old friends who wrote the book together and then went their separate ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't really comment on that kind of thing. But
sure.
I suspect that you are going to get the Melissa McCarthy that we all know and love in this movie.
Sure. And I'm okay with that because I like her stuff. I mean, even she's had some stinkers, sure. They all do, but I like overall, she's goddamn talented, guys, so it's pretty awesome. So how about this one? You had an exclusive.
Yeah, I rushed out of Results, the Andrew Bajalski movie with Guy Pearce and Kobe Smulders.
Oh, yeah.
Who I became a fan of this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was good in the movie. She's cute.
Oh, good.
She had some sass. So, yeah, I had to run out in the middle of that movie to file this, that Liam Hemsworth he definitely has the offer for the Independence Day sequel.
There you go, guys. Liam Hemsworth. We got Thor's little brother.
And I do not anticipate him turning it down. You know, when you look at his movies outside of The Hunger Games, like Paranoia, I just don't think he can afford to turn down a major sequel and working with Roland Emmerich and that kind of thing.
Yeah, now, I like this. I mean, I think he's great, and I think I like the Independence Day movie. I'm a little mixed on, you know, do we need another one? Nah, but I'll watch it. I can't wait. And I think he's a fantastic actor, and I totally agree with you.
So. He was the biggest name on the short list that we were sort of working off and tracking. I think that there was also some interest in Logan Lerman.
Okay.
And I think Austin Stowell was one of the names that we had also heard.
Okay.
So it ended up going to Liam. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, what is going to happen with those Michael B. Jordan rumors?
That's what I was going to ask you next.
So I don't know if he has like a sort of overall deal at Fox, or some kind of holding deal, or you know, whether they can actually make him be in this movie or not. You know, when I did the original story, I think I said that he was going to play Will Smith's son.
Okay.
I'm hearing something different now, and this is totally unsubstantiated. So,
okay, guys,
take this all with a grain of salt.
Grain of salt. You know how it goes.
I had someone telling me this week at Sundance that Michael B. Jordan was going to be playing Will Smith's character. That he was taking over the role of Captain Stephen Hiller, or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
Yeah, I can't remember. Okay.
Now, I don't know how that makes sense, really, because, you know, if that character stays the same age, which is like late 20s, you know, however. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have Bill Pullman and Jeff Goldblum and people like that who have aged 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't that didn't make sense to me, but that is what I heard from somebody.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me, but. Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
I don't know either.
Because Michael B. Jordan still—he looks like a baby. Still, I mean, he is pretty young.
He looks like he could play Will Smith.
Sure.
when
at that age.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that would be weird to see. You know, 20 years later, Jeff Goldblum, who flew the last mission with, you know, Will Smith's character, blew up the mothership and whatnot.
I'd be curious to see who they cast as like a young Randy Quaid.
I know, right. Well, he's, I hope they bring Randy Quaid back. He's supposedly dead. I
mean, oh, okay.
He blew up the mothership, or the other, whatever ship it is, you know, for revenge for the anal probe. So,
yeah. Listen, I have no idea if that's true. I mean, I don't even think that we mentioned Michael B. Jordan in our Liam Hemsworth story. And if we did, I didn't write it. You know, I was kind of just dictating some quick facts over the phone to people. But,
okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think
Liam Hemsworth.
It's a good call. Guys, what do you think of Independence Day sequel, ID Forever? That's what they're calling it.
Yep.
Liam Hemsworth. Do you guys like it? I'm looking at the chat board right now.
It's just going to be one movie, not two.
It's not going to be two? Okay, I know. There was originally talk of like a back-to-back shoot. Yeah,
I don't see that happening. Yeah. They want to see what they have, see if this franchise has any life left in it.
Cool. I like it. Well, let's move on then. So we got some more stuff going on out there. We got some Suicide Squad rumors. Right?
Ton of rumors over at Joe Blow, right?
Yeah, Joe Blow.
Those are pretty interesting.
So what are they?
what was it?
I'm
it was Gary Sinise as General Lane, right?
Yeah,
as Lois Lane's father.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I do like that.
I do too. I like that we're getting all these ties to the DC universe. That's what I like about Suicide Squad going forward. These casts, this cast is very interesting. And we still don't know who's taken over for Tom Hardy.
Right.
Huh?
There were some rumors that it was going to be Carl Urban.
Right.
There was mention of Joel Edgerton.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Yeah, those are the names I heard. And
Jason Clark.
Thank you, JT.
I heard Jason Clark was up for Deathstroke with, you know, the second choice.
Yeah.
Manganiello didn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. There's so many names out there for this.
Yeah, it sounds like they want certain people and they just don't know where they're going to fit these people into the cast.
Yeah.
But they want to work with Jason Clark, whether he's Flag or whoever.
Are we getting dangerous with this movie here? I mean, I'm hearing little asides about how the script kind of wasn't that great from Tom Hardy's point of view, that that's the real reason he left, or that Will Smith was getting more time. There's all that, you know, high school mumbo jumbo talk.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, when I talked to the folks for that, you know, for the Gyllenhaal story.
God, I wish he would have done that. That would have been great.
They had said that it was simply a matter of scheduling with Tom and that it wasn't anything related to the script. I totally believe Latina Review when they say that. I can just see Will Smith coming in and be like, yo, beef up my part.
Right.
And then suddenly Rick Flagg turns into the straight man in a sense.
Yeah.
The sort of government agent I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the comic book well enough, honestly.
I don't either at all. I mean, I actually heard of that comic property more than I did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which everybody's comparing it to, which I think is a fair comparison, but I think Suicide Squad actually has the opportunity to do something even more revolutionary by making these villains the heroes, so to speak.
Right.
So if they stick the landing on this, I think DC is going to look pretty good for the future.
I love this idea that the Joker sort of functions as a Hannibal Lecter type.
I do too.
Like that, oh my God. Like having Jared Leto in captivity behind bars the whole movie and then have him escape during the final reel.
Yeah, to set up maybe a Batman movie.
Yep.
And then there's talk. I also heard the rumor, guys, and I guess we probably should have issued a spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. But I did love the idea of a Batman cameo to kind of tie it together a bit.
Right.
And I heard that it was like kind of via some like kind of surveillance footage of Joker or something
like
that.
Right.
That's very cool. If you can do that where it's not like, here's Batman, but like
a subtle nod,
that's really going to do it creatively for me. By the way, my mom has called me two more times.
Maybe this is important, dude.
No.
Is your dad okay?
No. I know exactly why she's calling.
Oh, okay.
It's my mom being bored.
It's to clean your goddamn room, Mark.
I know. She's like, oh, sorry, I didn't clean my room. Well, that'd be awkward.
Next time you take the car, you fill it up with gas.
I know. I'm almost 40, guys, and I live with my mom. That is not true. Not true at all. Oh, so John Barant, Barenthal, sorry, was also mentioned.
Right, Johnny B for Rick Flagg, right?
Thank you.
Dude, John Barenthal is the man.
He is such the man.
I would sign him up in a heartbeat.
I would too, because ever since loved him in Walking Dead, but sorry, Wolf of Wall Street, he is phenomenal in that.
He was great.
And I did love him in Fury as well.
My parents actually just watched Fury and they're like, we couldn't understand a word John Barenthal said. I was like, what is he using? A thick Tennessee accent?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. So what else is out there? Let's talk about, hey, JT, any word from our special possible guest?
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, it might be tough. Now that Collider is exploding as it is, and he's getting a lot of exclusive interviews. So.
Right. He's busy.
Yeah, he is busy. But we will talk a little bit about Fantastic Four and give Frosty the props he deserves.
Yes. Have you seen any movies lately? I mean, I know it's January.
Yeah, I saw American Sniper this past weekend. And
where'd you weigh in on it?
I loved it. I actually loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know why, I don't care about the politics behind it.
Judging it as a movie.
I'm judging it as a movie. I thought Bradley Cooper was phenomenal. I did hear some criticisms of wanting to get a little bit more of the other side of the sniper, maybe a dual storyline, which I thought they kind of did, but not enough. So I do like that idea, but overall, I really enjoyed it.
I like that there is, a parallel sort of, that the characters mirror each other. The movie's called American Sniper, though.
Yeah.
I don't need to know about this other guy.
Thank you. That's a good point. What this story is about, what I really enjoyed was when he comes home and you're seeing that post-traumatic happening. As subtle as a lawnmower being turned on and he just looks up and he's sweating.
He's going to live life like that.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. And it was heartbreaking to me. It really was to see that. That to me was the story, not what was like.
And it was given short shrift, I thought.
What was that?
The PTSD stuff was given short shrift, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in obviously the end, which again, this is how detached I can get sometimes when I'm so busy. I didn't even know that the guy is actually dead in real life.
Oh yeah. And that's what makes the tale so amazing is the irony that he survived four tours over there and then got killed on his own soil.
And that's, I think, what me being stupid and not paying attention to current affairs out there and missing that story. I mean, I think I knew it, but I forgot it for whatever reason. So when the end comes in, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like I was literally, oh.
Yeah, I don't get this whole thing by the media where it's like, if you're up for an Oscar, then we're going to essentially do a deep dive on your real life characters.
Yeah.
And try to character assassination. So this is what the real Chris Kyle was like. And he actually hated women he loved guns and hated. It was just like, who cares? I don't care about what Chris Kyle stood for in real life. I care about the 2 hours in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't care about what LBJ actually did during the Selma days.
It's a movie and you have to suspend your disbelief for a minute and get rid of, based on a true story, sure. But they're not, if it's based on a true story and it's a documentary and they just go, here are the facts, you make the decision. No, they're filmmakers trying to make you care about something. They're filmmakers that have a voice. Clint Eastwood wants you to know, this is what I feel about this. And so are you going to go along for the ride? That's up to you. And I went along for the ride.
I just hate the media poking holes in these movies just because it's Oscar time.
I turn it down
historically accurate.
Yeah, no. This was great. Like the way they set up the movie was brilliant and how it just was so great. It was so great. So I love that and it gives me more hope that Bradley Cooper is Indiana Jones.
See anything else?
I mean, there's a lot. So what did you think? It's 9:45. Maybe Frosty's going to be able to come in, but we don't know yet. So, guys, a little bit of backstory in case he does call in. He got to drop a huge exclusive for his site.
Right.
This was pretty huge, in my opinion, because we had heard zip about Fantastic Four. And the media and us started to fill in the blanks by saying, oh, it's in trouble. Oh, it's going to suck. Oh, it's Chronicle 2. Oh. Josh Trank is being fired. Oh, he's not going to be on Star Wars. Oh, everything happened. Mm. And then Frosty comes in with a haymaker and goes, here's a lot of information for you. I got an exclusive interview.
It was about time for Fox to move. Yeah, I think they had to do something.
So do you think, in your professional opinion, that Fox went out to Collider and said, hey, why don't you have this?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, unless Steve was really angling for it for the
he
last few
been.
Weeks or months, yeah.
It could have been a that as well as Fox saying, yeah, you're right, okay.
But yeah, he asked, you know, the questions that I think we were all wondering about.
Mm-hmm.
And then complimenting that interview with the trailer,
yeah.
You know, context informing each other and whatnot. Yeah, I thought it was a great trailer. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah,
looked really different than most superhero movies and the familiar beats that we see in all those trailers.
Yeah,
and the cast looked sick. I thought.
Yeah, I when I first saw it, a lot of people were asking me on Twitter what I thought, and I was like, yeah, you know, I liked it. You know, I wasn't blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was weird. I started to want to watch it again. I was like, hi, I want to watch that again, and mm-hmm. I watched it again, and then I liked it even more, and then I watched it again, and you know, I do like, that's what's weird. I kept thinking about that shot of the Human Torch, that long shot, and I was talking about it off air with these guys. It looked, I called it artsy, but I liked the way it was shot. It looks so different than all these, like, in your face, definitely Marvel, who has the very popcorn right. feel, like, here you go, we're gonna have a lot of fun, not a lot of darkness to it, you know. This is very much in the, like, I see this coming from the studio of X-Men and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and, you know, very straightforward, like, realistic movie.
Right.
And so there's a lot of sci-fi in it that gets me excited. It looks very cool.
I love the shot of Jamie Bell at bat.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, he looked like just like a brawler.
Yeah.
What street is Ben Grimm from? What's it called? What do they call him? No, you don't know.
I don't know. That's the thing. I'm not a Fantastic Four fan of the comics. I kind of, you know, I read them when they would like kind of cross over with my Spidey in the comics and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been a big fan, and I wasn't a fan of the Tim Story, you know, adaptation a couple, however many years ago, the two movies. So this looks just nice. I liked it. I was blown away by the trailer. After everything was said and done, and I watched it a bunch of more times, I was like, yeah, I can get behind this. So do you think now that we got a good movie? The trailers could fool you. We don't know yet, guys. These rumors could be true.
I've said all along that I think I have total faith in Josh Trank.
Yes.
And I've had, you know, my differences with him, you know, as people.
Yeah. Well, now, you were talking on Twitter to Josh Trank, and then we found out that
that wasn't Josh Trank. Yeah.
So
no, I'd heard a rumor and had been checking in on that rumor.
Yeah,
and then someone had told me that Josh Trank was upset that I was looking into that rumor, and I'm like, hey man, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
And you know, my job's to look into stuff. It's not like I reported anything.
Yeah.
But anyways, that wasn't even Josh Trank.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So Josh Trank, you can follow on Twitter at Joshua Trank.
Yeah.
You know, I expect he'll have a guarded social media presence.
Sure.
But I just think that the fact that he's on there, you know, speaks volumes. He's willing to interact with the fans.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was like we got an influx of Fantastic Four interviews, and then he makes his presence known on social media. It was all kind of in like 2 days' time.
It seemed very calculated.
Yes, it did. And
I can't believe no one else had taken Joshua Trank.
Yeah, right? I know. Maybe he bought the Twitter handle. I don't know.
Who knows?
But hey, what's going on in there?
Jake T is...
Yeah. I don't know if you got. I probably called unwanted attention to that. But anyway,
I do think it's going to be a good movie.
I think so. I mean, yeah. Even if it just holds to what we saw in the trailer, if it just holds to that kind of tone, and we know Josh Trank can do a good movie. But Ken Napsok last night said something interesting, which I want your opinion because I know you are a fan and support Josh Trank. He says it was Max Landis's script that was. What elevated Chronicle? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
We've heard all kinds of rumors about who deserves most of the credit for Chronicle.
Sure.
I've heard the same things about, you know, Max, but that movie didn't direct itself.
Exactly.
So
you gotta have to look. The director is he is the king. Of everything.
Yeah. Josh Trank had a great piece of material to work off of in Chronicle. He also made the casting decisions.
I mean, yep.
He was also involved in those.
Mm-hmm.
And those three guys were excellent. So.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, have faith in Josh Trank, guys.
Yeah. Because if from what I saw from the look, and these are very educated opinions, I would say, because you look at Chronicle, okay, and you go, and who cares about troubled productions? If there is trouble in the production, we talked about it. Christian brought it up, made some great points last night on the main show. Like, he's been hearing problems from different people all around, like reliable sources. So mm-hmm. he's a little worried. However, what I will say to that is that there can be problems on sets all the time, and a good product, you just have to look at the product.
There were problems on set of Titanic, folks.
Thank you.
I mean,
I was going to go there.
What did you think of like the tone though? Because I think you had mentioned that the tone didn't necessarily feel Fantastic Four-y.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, me too.
The tone, like, it's totally so radically different, because if you look at the source material, you got a guy that stretches. You got a rock monster, you got a guy that bursts into flames, and you have an invisible woman. It's a comic book, and you just on paper you're like, huh? Right. And you can maybe think about the previous iterations of this. And
yeah,
then
I'm hoping for a 180 from those Chris Evans, Jessica Alba movies.
Yes,
so.
And I think it absolutely is based off of the trailer. So my educated opinion on this, looking at Chronicle, looking at the trailer, knowing and liking and being fans of Trank and Simon Kinberg too. He's a great writer. He wrote this thing. So I'm excited. And if we have a sci-fi version, we actually dropped a little bit of an exclusive, like knowing that there's a different element. There's not a spaceship this time. It's kind of something different. I really like that. It's kind of very grounded in reality. It's science-based. It looks awesome. So I'm very excited.
Speaking of looking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a photo that Justin Kroll just retweeted of Tarantino, Sam Jackson, and who I think is Kurt Russell.
Are we talking Hateful Eight here?
Dude, yeah. They're filming Hateful Eight now.
Ooh.
That is Kurt Russell, right? He looks like Santa Claus.
Oh, my God.
He looks like a fucking badass.
Yeah, he
holy shit.
He looks like Wyatt Earp, like 20 years later.
Sam Jackson tweeted it out, so you guys can check that out. But it looks like the Hateful Eight team is getting a Kingsman screening.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that film, probably not until next week.
Kingsman?
Because it opens in mid-February. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's quite good.
That's what I hear. Yeah, you know, we had Katie Sackhoff on last night, and she was so – it was between her and Jennifer Jason Leigh for Hateful Eight, and she mentioned that it was like the most crushing. Yeah, I know you didn't know that. What?
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
Oh my God. And you're rolling your eyes like that's not going to work.
I'm like, really, Katie?
Yeah.
I know.
It was.
I mean, that's so terrible to this girl in the show.
I know, right? You haven't met her yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, and she's like awesome. Her. She's awesome.
But I was like, was it really between you and Jennifer Jason Leigh?
I mean,
not what I heard.
Okay. Well, this is what I heard, and this is from the horse's mouth from her.
She's different.
Yeah. Well, she actually said, if you know the script and you know what Tarantino is trying to do, it makes perfect sense that they cast older, because I guess Jennifer Jason Leigh is older than
Katie. I heard
there
was another reason, too. Jennifer Jason Leigh got that movie.
Really? And what's that? Do you know?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, sounds good. But she did say that she got to audition with Tarantino.
Sure, I believe that.
Yeah, so she thought she was going to get the part. That's what Katie was saying. So I just adore her, so I think that's great that she got to do that. But I'm excited for Hateful Eight, guys. I know you are. Is Channing Tatum one of the Hateful Eight? Yes, he is, isn't he?
No.
He's not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No,
I don't know.
I think he's like the straggling ninth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's among the actual Hateful Eight.
Okay.
Because no one knows who he's playing.
Okay. Is that 2 minutes, JT? Yeah, got it. Okay, so it looks like, guys, sorry, we're not going to get Frosty.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it sucks, but you know what? He's busy. And, guys, go ahead and tweet out to Frosty at Collider. I believe it's Collider Frosty out there on the Twitter machine. And just say, bang up job, Fantastic Four. Give him a congratulations from Schmoville.
Oh, I mean, there's some real quick bits here.
Yeah.
John Wick director's doing Cowboy Ninja Viking. That
was
cool.
Speaking of Chris Pratt.
Cool news.
Right? Yeah, I dig that. I dig
that. Yeah, those guys did a good job with John Wick.
They did. John Wick was a surprise for me.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And to think about this cowboy, what is it?
Cowboy Ninja Viking.
Cowboy Ninja Viking. Now he's like dyslexic. Get a, like Viking Ninja Cowboy or whatever. This sounds fun. This movie sounds so much
fun.
Yeah,
I think it could be cool. And speaking of movies like John Wick that I really enjoyed, I watched Everly this week.
Everly? What's that? I haven't heard that.
With Salma Hayek in like a hotel room fending off all these assassins.
Ooh. That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was pretty wild.
That's cool.
I'd recommend that. But I think we do need to wrap it up. So the last thing we're going to talk about, what did we do Chiwetel Ejiofor, Doctor Strange?
No, we haven't talked about that. And I also wanted to get something from you. I wanted to find out if you heard anything. Did you hear about Total Geeks? It's a site I haven't heard about. They dropped an exclusive last night saying that Orphan Black,
Tatiana Maslany.
Yep, was cast in the standalone Star Wars. Have you heard anything? No, not happening.
She dropped out of a play yesterday, the Neil LaBute play.
Yes. Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
Okay. Okay. Guys, you can look into that however you may want to do that. Okay, so Jeff, let's talk about Doctor Strange.
I mean, yeah, real quick, Chiwetel Ejiofor is doing Doctor Strange.
Okay. Like that's, it hasn't been that's confirmed, happening. Really, but
no, it hasn't
been
confirmed,
rumors.
But I've spoken to people who have spoken to him directly, and he said that he is blocking off his fall for that movie. I don't know what the role is. You know, there's been a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
I was throwing out Ancient One rumors because I don't think that the Ancient One needs to look ancient.
No. It can be an embodiment of a thing,
I was
thing,
told
right?
specifically he's not the villain, so it sounds like maybe he's not Baron Mordo if that is the villain.
See, I'm so not up on my Doctor Strange.
I don't know it either. Someone else mentioned a Wong or something, a monk.
Again, the source material escapes me. You know, I just know the character, you know. And again, when I talk about my crossover comics that I read, you know, he pops in there every once in a while. But Doctor Strange is kind of over my head. So, yeah, I heard this rumor too, and we covered it on the site, and it sounds great. I just love him, period. So if he's in the movie with Benedict...
What was that site that ran the Tatiana Maslany thing?
Total Geeks.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can cue us out, JT. It's
there you
time.
Go, guys.
We
reached our limit, guys. That's our show. A very intimate Meet the Movie Press with Jeff Snyder back from Sundance. Guys, be sure and subscribe, comment on the iTunes. You will find that on iTunes, Meet the Movie Press, on the Popcorn Talk Network. And Jeff, where can the good people find you?
Find me on Twitter at the InSnyder. My voice just cracked, guys.
You've been Sundancing it, man.
Yeah,
it happens.
I've got no voice. At the InSnyder on Twitter. Follow my stuff on therap.com.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with a guest of some kind.
Yes, we will. We're working on a couple people. In fact, Elmiembe threw Drew at Hitfix out there. We're going to work on getting him in finally. So, guys, I'm Mark Riley. You can find me at Riley Around on Twitter, every day on schmozno.com. And, guys, again, like us on Facebook. You know, we hit 1,200 likes on our Facebook page.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're pretty...
Thanks, Schmoville.
We're pretty awesome over there. Meet the Movie Press on Facebook. And, of course, please share, subscribe, comment on iTunes. Keeps the lights on here. Folks, we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Go Pats!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.